So this is Act 3 of Lalita Madhava. When we were reading the introduction, we heard that the Nati, who was the elderly actress who was brought on stage to introduce the play, said she did not want to actually take part in this play because she did not want to upset the audience, who were exalted devotees. No music yet. So she didn't want to upset the audience, the exalted devotees who would hear this play. We also hear that Srila Rupa Goswami, when he read this play, Lalita Madhava, given to him by Srila Rupa Goswami, he became so much full of the mood of separation, weeping, that Srila Rupa Goswami was obliged to write another drama where Radha and Krishna were very happily engaging in their pastimes in Vrindavan just to pacify him. So now we're about to hear how Krishna will leave Vrindavan. Purnamasi and Vrinda enter onto the stage. Purnamasi says, "The darkness of night is now ending. Look, frightened by seeing the beast of the sun glowing on the horizon, the lion of the moon now runs to hide beneath the western direction." Vrinda said, "I heard a great sound like the roaring from the depths of an agitated ocean, and so I have quickly come here. Please tell me, what is it?" Purnamasi, "Daughter Vrinda, it has not entered the courtyard of your ears." Vrinda, "Noble lady, what is it?" Purnamasi, "Yesterday when peacock feather crowned Krishna returned to the Raj village, after killing Aristasura, a Krura arrived who had been sent by King Kamsa. Tomorrow morning when the sun rises on the eastern horizon, the king's messenger, Akrura, will take Krishna and his elder brother Balaram to Mathura." Vrinda, silent for a moment, and then with a long, warm, unhappy sigh, she says, "If Akrura takes Mukunda to Mathura, for what purpose shall I beautify the new forest groves? And for what reason shall I make the fragrant vines blossom, even after the blossoming season is past?" Purnamasi, their eyes filled with anguish, the gopis have stayed awake the entire night, crying with long wails, frightened and always angry at Akrura. And now that the night is over, as if it had only been a single moment, alas, sad is the gopi's fate. Then Purnamasi says, looking ahead of her, she says, "Look at Nanda's wife Yasoda. She is so agitated. She has forgotten to offer suitable prayers for her son's safety. She is so perplexed, she has not even prepared a meal for him to take on the road. She simply embraces him, cries, and muddies the dust of his body with the streams of tears from her eyes." Vrinda begins to listen to the gopis and what they are saying. She said, "Did you hear what Saibya said? Oh, bewildered girl, I think it is because you are so absorbed in churning yogurt that you cannot hear the pathetic wailing of Braj village. Oh, my friend, a wicked messenger of the king is hurrying Mukunda away to Mathura." Purnamasi says, "You are agitated by Saibya, but you did not hear Shama's lament." And then she tells her what Shama is saying. Then Vrinda said, "Did you hear Bhadra?" A voice from behind the scenes says, "O bird of my life breath, even though in your presence your beloved Krishna hastily climbed aboard the chariot, still you refuse to abandon this slain body that has become your nest." Purnamasi glances to the left and she says, "Just see Chandravali. She is fashioning a garland for Madhava to wear at noontime. And Padma is now speaking some words that pierce her heart like a javelin. Let us listen. Padma is telling Saibhya, even though Krishna, who is very affectionate to his devotees, has already climbed on the chariot, you are still intent on stringing this flower garland? Oh, fickle, deaf Chandravali, has the deep, sustained crying of the gopis not entered your ears? Purnamasi, in anguish, says, hearing from her friend this unpleasant news, Chandravali became overwhelmed, and the half-strung flower garland slipped from her hand as she fainted as if dead. Vrinda, look, look. Placing unconscious Chandravali in front of the chariot, her friend Padma cries bitterly. Then a voice from behind the scenes says, O girl who has lost all hope, try to understand for a moment. Look, look a little from the corner of your eye. Merciless Akrura is quickly bringing the horses. Purnamasi says, Child, because I cannot see Radha anywhere, I am very worried. Vrinda looks to the right and says, Alas, Vishakha and the other gopis cannot bear to either tell or not tell Radha the news of Krishna's departure from Mathura. They are completely stunned. They stand together ear to ear as if they have lost their sense. Purnamasi very unhappily says, O Radha, when the blinking of your eyes momentarily interrupted your seeing Krishna, you would glorify the fish who has no eyelids. O Radha, whose heart is wounded, what will happen to you now that fate is taking Krishna to Mathura city? Vrinda, look, the tumultuous sound of the gopis crying has made restless-eyed Radha run onto the path like a frightened deer. Now she babbles eloquent nonsense. Purnamasi, what is Lalita saying? Let us listen. Lalita is trying to pacify Radha, so she tells her, Krishna is just going around Govardhan Hill. Radha, please do not lament. Purnamasi says, listen to what this girl is saying. Radha says, I know everything, my friend. What will you cleverly hide from me? I will not be unhappy when Krishna is gone. But why does this shameless breathing again and again move in my throat? Vishakha, after he kills Kamsa, Krishna will again meet you in the middle of the night. Oh friend, you are most patient and tolerant of all the gopis. Please don't be unhappy. Radha says, don't console me, you hopeless girl. Your mouth has become dry in praising me. Far away, the wheels of Krishna's chariot again and again break the belly of the hard earth. Purnamasi, Radha has become very restless. At one moment she cries bitterly, and the next moment she rolls on the ground before the chariot. And the next moment her tear-filled eyes gaze on Krishna's face. And the next moment she places a blade of grass between her teeth and bows down before Lord Balaram and begs him not to leave Vrindavan. Is there any person that Radha will not throw into the ocean of intense compassion for her? Then Purnamasi with tears says, although in the presence of her dear gopi friends, she would never for even a single moment glance at Krishna with the slightest fragrance of tears gliding to her lips. But now, without any embarrassment, Even before her superiors, she stares at him with tear-filled eyes. Radha makes my heart wilt in pain. As Krishna rides on the chariot, gazing at Radha's anguished face, how many thick tears appear in his eyes like drops of honey on a lotus flower. Vrinda, noble lady, the gopis' life breath will now follow their master Krishna. Purnamasi, look, here comes someone bearing a message from Krishna. The message says, O beautiful pious girls, some anguished nights may be seen by you before again attaining my auspicious company. In this way, Krishna, with ropes of hope, tightly bound the deer of the lotus-eyed gopi's life breath. Vrinda with anguish. Now that lotus-eyed Krishna has left Vraj to go to Mathura city, the bumblebee will no longer drink honey. The peacocks will not decorate the forest with dances. And the Chakravaka birds will refuse to keep company with their wives. Alas, the pain of separation from Mukunda has unsettled Radha's mind. Now she runs around and she stands still like a picture. Then she laughs and then she weeps bitterly. Sometimes she is talkative. Sometimes she is silent from behind the scenes. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like a moon rising from the ocean? Where is Krishna, his head decorated with a peacock feather? Oh, where is Krishna? Where is he whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and the best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I thereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. Purnamasi, this body is now overwhelmed with pain. I must go at once. Vrinda says, noble lady, I would like to bring Mukara here. And they both exit. This is the end of scene one. So scene two begins with Radha and Lalita and Vishakha together. They are trying to console her in any way that they possibly can. Radha, O beautiful faced friend, I did not fully drink the nectar of Krishna's joking words with my ears, and I did not fearlessly gaze at him. I did not firmly embrace him, and moment after moment my mind remembers all of this, and it trembles in pain. Vishakha, why, even though you know Krishna's message promised his return, do you still torture your friends by plunging them into this blazing fire of grief? Radha in agony. The blazing fire of separation from Krishna, the king of Gokul, has broken my heart. That fire is more painful than the Putapaka fire, more troubling than a strong dose of poison. more intolerable than Indra's thunderbolt, and more sharp than a spear plunged into my heart, and more horrifying than the last stage of disease. Radha. She sees a Chakravaka bird and she makes the following request. O Chakravaka bird, because you have come here from the east, you must have seen Krishna. Please tell me the news of his activities. Has someone acted to relieve his fatigue traveling on the highway in the chariot? Has someone decorated him with leaves and fresh sprouts and other forest ornaments? Then she sees a crow sitting on the kadamba tree. She says, O brother crow, O crown of all youths, after you leave Vrindavan, please go to Vrindavan's king, Krishna, and offer my obeisances to him. And say to him this message, tell him that the flames of separation from you are now beginning to burn the animal of my life breath in the house of my body. So please unlock the firm lock of hope that keeps that animal in the burning building. Then she sees a parrot. She says, O parrot friend, I did not know that you were a messenger from Krishna. Please tell me the news. Has Krishna crushed the sharp thorn of his enemies, and is he now surrounded by his friends? And does he call for a chariot to come here and back? Is he now eager to travel west to the land of Braj? Then she remembers the sound of Krishna's flute. She says, I cannot be peaceful for even a moment. Where is the Lord of my life now? Oh, miserable life, please run out of my throat at once. No longer can I see Krishna. Then Vishakha says to Lalita, Lalita, quickly do something to stop, even for a moment, the waves of suffering that are drowning our dear friend Radha. And Lalita approaches Radha and says, O lotus-eyed one, we think that Krishna, playful Krishna, is simply playing a joke on us. And these events, beginning with Akrura's arrival, are all his joke. For he is not willing to leave Vrindavan at any time. If you will simply search for him in the forest, you will quickly find him there. Vishakha says, well done, Lalita. Well done, you are so intelligent. Radha says, this is not impossible. Let us search for him. After walking some distance, she sees some deers. When she sees the deer, she says, the grass is falling half eaten from your mouth. Is this because charming Krishna has stolen your heart? Is this because you have met the wandering guest of Krishna's sidelong glance, or you have heard the sweet sound of his flute? And then she sees the peahens and she laughs loudly and says, please give up your duplicity and tell me immediately, where is peacock feather-crowned Krishna hiding in this forest? Where is Krishna, whose flute music pleases you millions of times, more than the thunder of many new rain clouds? Vishakha, she looks to the side and says, I can see a Gunja necklace in the grove at Radha Kund. So Radha picks up the Gunja necklace and smells it, and then she begins to tremble. Reflecting, she says, reflecting the splendor of the King of Jewels, you were once on the chest of Krishna. O Gunja necklace friend, why do you now, overwhelmed, roll about on the ground on this forest path? Then she starts to think of Chandravali and she says, "Oh Vishakha, I want to see Chandravali, who is so rarely seen by me and who is so dear to Krishna." Vishakha says, "She is confined to her house by her grandmother and she is wasting away in grief." Radha says, "I will go and now I will pray to Govardhan Hill." So she takes a few steps and then she goes to Govardhan and says, "Oh, dear Govardhan, have you seen your friend, the independent-minded Prince of Braj? Has he come here with glistening, smiling lips and a flute in his hand and a peacock feather on his head?" And then she hears the mountain cave echoing back her words and she says, "Why does Govardhan cry the same question back to me?" Then she sees a cloud and she thinks that it is Krishna. She says, "Lalita, look." And she points, she says, "Is this Krishna decorated with a peacock feather crown and embraced by the gopis?" And then she looks carefully and says, "No, I think it is not Krishna. It is only a rain cloud and a rainbow resting on Govardhan Hill." The gopis say, "Please don't be sad. Don't be sad." And then Radha asks Giriraj, "Please be kind and open the entrance of one of your caves and let me see Krishna within. Please do this and stop the unbearable endless waves of my suffering." And she says, "Why is Giriraj silent? He simply sheds streams of tears in the form of these murmuring mountain brooks." Then she begs Giriraj again and says, "Oh Govardhan, you shine so splendidly in this land of Gokul with your many lofty peaks thrusting high into the sky. Please look in all directions and tell me, where is Krishna? Where is the jewel of cowherd boys now?" In this way she continues. Then she goes and she says to her friends, "I have searched all the forest. I have looked in all the areas of Vrindavan. I carefully searched the dense Bandira forest and looked in every part of Govardhan Hill. Oh Lalita, alas, alas, I have not found even the faintest scent of your friend Krishna anywhere." Lalita says, "How many times you have searched for Krishna in the forest and not found him? Don't be depressed." Radha begins to run. She says, "Well said, well said. There in the distance I can see Krishna and a Krura riding on his chariot. I will grab Krishna by the neck and drag him down." But as she approaches nearer, she becomes unhappy and says, "This is not a chariot. It's just a hill covered with golden flowers. And this is not the gopi's lover Krishna, but a dark tamal tree. And this is not the king's messenger Akrura, but a powerful tiger. Oh friend, why has the unfriendly creator Lord Brahma made everything wrong?" Vishakha, alarmed, says, "Lalita, you fan Radha with the edge of your sari while I go and get a lotus petal." And she runs off. Radha regains consciousness and she starts speaking to herself. She says, "Oh Radha, the sound of Krishna's footsteps has come to my ear. Krishna is now entering this grove of transcendental pastimes." Then she falls down at the edge of Lalita Devi's feet. She bows to Lalita Devi and says, "Krishna has come to this forest. Oh mad woman, get up, get up. Because of your foolishness, we are losing a very rare and precious opportunity." Lalita, when she sees this, she becomes very much upset and she says, "Alas, terrible fate is killing me." And she starts to cry very loudly. Vishakha runs in very quickly to the scene and says, "Lalita, what is it? Please calm down." And Radha says, "Friend, are you actually Lalita?" Lalita says, what? Radha says, I am Radha. I have come here to pick forest flowers for a garland. I will pick jasmine flowers and make earrings for Krishna. She anxiously enters a flower garden. And then she turns to her friends and says, but why are the jasmine buds all falling? And why are the kadamba flowers breaking into pieces? And why are the jati buds all turned black? What has happened to the Vrindavan forest? And both Lalita and Vishakha say together, the forest must have been licked by the flames of a great fire. Radha says, I don't know why a great forest fire playfully also licks my heart. But let us find your friend whose glances extinguish forest fires. Lalita says, come, dear friend, come. Then Radha sees some Surabhi cows and she says, I can see the cows. Krishna must not be far away. And she runs to the cows and says, but why do the cows, why are their eyes flooded with tears and they're refusing to eat the grass before them? Why do they not lick the calves with their mouths? And why do they break all the directions with their crying? Alas, Krishna's Surabhi cows on this path are on the verge of death. Then a voice comes from behind the scenes. This voice criticizes King Kamsa very strongly for taking Krishna away. It says the safari fish of the gopis are rolling on the dry ground in agony. The waves of their life breath are stopped. What will you give them for shelter now? When she hears this voice, Radha faints. Lalita tries to calm her. And then Radha has another thought. She opens her eyes and she says, looking up to the sky, she says, O sun god, because we hear that Radha was worshipping the sun god. She says, O sun god, Radha offers her respectful obeisances unto you. Please fulfill her desire. Vishakha says with awe, the thousand-rayed sun god always gives benedictions. Radha, not hearing Vishakha's words, she says, I will go to the Yamuna shores. There I will be happy. So Lalita says, yes, on this river bank let us worship the sun god and pray to him for the fulfillment of your desires. Radha arrives at the bank of the Yamuna. But when she gets there, she falls on the ground and begins to cry. She says, O lotus-eyed one, on this Yamuna shore, where again and again you've splashed us with waves of pleasure, why do you not now come? Why are you tormenting us with pain? Lalita, looking at the Yamuna, she says, O sister Yamuna, O crown of the sun god's dynasty, I have come here desiring to hear from you some news of Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon. And Radha says, friend, your ever-new shores are filled with forest groves that rival jeweled palaces and were once the home of Krishna's pastimes. And then Radha faints. Vishakha picks up a garland that was once worn by Krishna and places it near her nose. Then Radha comes back to consciousness after a long time. And she says in Sanskrit, Lalita, listen, I saw a very frightening dream. It was so vivid, I thought I was awake. In this dream, a wicked messenger of King Kamsa came to Vrindavan and with a chariot, Krishna, and she leaves the sentence unfinished. Then she says,
I pray that there will be peace and prosperity in Vraj. Now, in order to become free from the ill effects of this bad dream, I will bathe in the Jamuna and then I will go and see Krishna. Vishakha says, let us go to Kela Tirtha, where Krishna eternally enjoys pastimes. And as they're walking, Vrindadevi, an elderly Mukhara, Radharani's grandmother, also enter. Mukhara says to Vrinda, my child, what is Radha doing? And Vrinda says, O noble lady, I will see. She has a look and she says, I think she has gone to bathe in the waters of Kela Tirtha with Vishakha. Radha, entering into the waters of the Jamuna, she says, O Vishakha, because Vishakha is with her, she says, well done. Now I will enter the waters of Kela Tirtha. Look, there is your friend Krishna. He is hiding among the blue lotus flowers. And look, he is playfully waving his arms. Vishakha enters the water with Radha. Lalita is watching. And all of a sudden, she becomes stricken with grief and she starts to cry out loudly, alas, alas, now I am dead, I am dead. My dear friend Radha has drowned in the deep river waters with Vishakha. She will never again rise from these waters. The two of them have drowned. Now I will become the third. And she goes to enter the water and Mukhara in tears says, fate, what have you done? Why have you done this? And Vrinda says, crying, alas, what will happen to her now? Noble Lady Lalita is grief-stricken. Now she wants to enter the water and drown. Quickly stop her at once. And so they grab Lalita and they save her from drowning. Lalita, seeing this, says to herself, alas, alas, here is a great obstacle. By some trick, I will escape from this place. And because of separation from my dear friends, I will jump from the top of Govardhan Hill and on the rocks of that mountain's base, I will crush this hard as stone body that would not break from being able to see its dear friend. So she, hiding her grief openly, says, noble lady, please let go of me. I must go. And I will tell this strange news to noble Purnamasi and her friends. And Lalita exits. Then a voice from the sky says, what great person in this world is able to describe the splendid flood of this beautiful eyebrowed gopi's glory? This is speaking about Radha. And there's this voice is telling that Radha, by drowning herself in the Jamuna, has attained perfection. As splendid as new lightning, she and her friends have now entered the sun god's planet, which even the great sages cannot obtain. Vrinda says, noble lady, listen. The Siddha demigods in the clouds are glorifying Radha's attainment of perfection. Mukhara is rolling on the ground in grief. She says, oh, granddaughter Radha, where have you gone? And Vrinda, anguished, says, as I think of Radha's death, I suffer as if burning in the flames of a fire. Oh, lotus-eyed Radha, when he hears of your sudden, untimely death, what will happen to lotus-eyed Krishna? And then a voice from the sky says, grief-stricken Lalita, whose teeth are beautiful as pomegranate seeds, and who is the jewel chest of love for Krishna, who is the life and soul of Radha, has now jumped from the top of Govardhan Hill. Mukhara says, oh Lalita, why have you left us?
Vrinda, now I will enter the waves of the Jamuna and cool this burning body in the flames that is burning in the flames of grief. And she too begins to enter the water of the Jamuna when a voice comes from the sky and says, elderly lady, do not do it. It is not right. Vrinda says, O noble lady, this order descending from the realm of the sun is not to be disobeyed. And Makara says, I will tell all this to Purnamasi. And there is a deep rumbling sound in the sky. Makara says, what was that? I could not hear it. And this is what the sun god said to Makara. Without duplicity, please place in your ears these splendid words of the sun god, who removes the fatigue of the lotus flowers and witnesses the Chakravaka birds' meetings. The sun god said, O Makara, do not commit this reckless act of drowning yourself in the waters of the Jamuna. In future, you will enjoy a festival of the nectar of transcendental bliss. Everybody exit, and thus ends the third act called Maddened Radhika. So this evening we will hear the next two acts of this drama. So don't worry, it is not at all as sad as this chapter.